for Sunday school this morning, I'll be meeting in my office with the nominating committee. So if you're on the nominating committee, today is the day during Sunday school. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The most famously annoying question on any road trip is, are we there yet? And close behind that one is, how much longer? We've outfitted our airplanes and our automobiles with entertainment systems. We've made the ride as cushy as possible. We go faster than ever before so that we can get there sooner and quicker. But still, these questions persist. You think the Lord ever gets annoyed by those questions? How much longer, Lord? Are we there yet? I thought by now. Well, we began this series. First, I don't know how well you can see that picture. Does that remind you of Tara Sebolt and Don Ross in the middle from years ago? I just saw that. I know they didn't have another sibling, but anyway. We started this series with the question, why? Why in the world would I obey God? Why would I do what He wants me to rather than what I want to do? And we found out, well, He's everything. It's His world. We were created by Him and for Him. We're going to be judged by Him when this is all over. So He's the one person that you want to please, even ahead of yourself. Okay, what? What does He want me to do? What is He going to require of me? In the first session, we talked about morality. Keep your mind clean. Keep your mind out of the gutter. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And get that right. The next week we talked about, well, what else? Other than just our, well, it's our heart. Get rid of all that garbage in there. Bitterness and hatred and rage and jealousy and all the negative stuff. Clean the heart out. Replace it with good stuff. Kindness and goodness, love, gentleness, peace, patience, self-control, all of those things. And now, today we come to that age-old question, when? When is this all going to pay off? Why self-control? Why denial? Why sacrifice and work so hard at all this stuff? When do we get the really good stuff? Matthew chapter 6:33. We'll begin here. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Father, thank You for Your guidance. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for showing us how to live a life that is worth living. And we pray that today You will help us as we look into Your word, that things will get into line, that we will walk paths of righteousness, that we'll be less religious and more faithful, that we will be less dutiful and more beautiful in Your spirit. And we'll thank You for this transformation and this help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's important to note that this verse comes directly from the Creator Himself, the Lord, the Word. And He gives us both a promise and a guide. There's that promise. All these things will be added unto you. What things? Well, in that particular context, He was talking about clothes and food and wealth and all of the good things. Now, you could really put anything in there that you really desire in your heart. All these things will be given unto you. Great! How do I get them? Well, seek first the Lord and His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. If you want to enjoy the good things, then you have to follow the secret sauce to the success. If you try to get the treasure via shortcut, I'm just going to go get what I want. You forget about delight yourself in the Lord and all of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You're going to end up in misadventures. And what you thought was going to happen when you got there is going to be very disappointing. Even if you happen upon fame or fortune, it will not have the pop. It will not have the allure. It will not have the juice that you thought it was waiting to shower down upon you. It's like a Cracker Jack box without a prize at the bottom. It's like a water fountain that doesn't work. You ever been really thirsty? There in Hanover, one of the parks, there's a water fountain at the corner. And I remember one hot summer day, I thought, oh, thank God there's a water fountain. And went over to the water fountain, pushed the button. There was just a tiny little trickle. I wasn't going to lick it. No water for you. Oh, how disappointing. The promise, but nothing coming of it. That's the world. They will promise you the world, but you get a boot instead. I remember watching one of the America's Funniest Home Videos, and there was a fellow feeding a squirrel one of his French fries. It was really cute. The squirrel, and the guy's dangling the French fry. All of a sudden, the squirrel ducked away from the fry, grabbed the guy's piece of chicken, and took off into the park. No, you keep your fry. That's all right. And there are plenty of videos where people are feeding seagulls, and they, you know, they're having fun. The seagull. Then all of a sudden, they try to eat their meal, and here come the flock of seagulls. Seagulls do not share. They are simply there to take and to run. They may leave a deposit, but you won't be appreciative of it along the way. Now, the enemy isn't here for our good. The enemy isn't here to feed you. The enemy isn't here to scratch that itch. The enemy isn't here to help you. He's here to enslave you. That's bait sitting out in front, and when the trap is sprung, you've got a world of sorrow that you have to deal with. You could do it the world's way. They make it look so good, so inviting. But it's oh so dangerous. So catch this principle. Patience and self-control precede every great blessing in life. I know we hate to wait. I know we are not naturally patient. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Patience and self-control precede every great blessing in life. You will go through seasons where, oh, why not? Why not now? Why not yet? Well, you're letting patience have its work. And when it comes, it will be so sweet. Waiting for dinner makes the food so delicious. If you cheat and you snack all along the way, the dinner finally comes. And it's kind of disappointing. It's kind of melodramatic. It didn't have that that you really thought that it would. What happened? You ruined it. Didn't your mama tell you you'll ruin your dinner if you eat that? But we just keep eating and eating and eating, and nothing tastes delicious after a while. It's all just food. But if you practice patience and self-control, boy, when you finally sat down and you had that first bite, I've been back on my program again here. I've been intermittent fasting since January 1st now. I can't believe how good lunch tastes. I don't eat from 8 o'clock in the evening until noon. And it's just amazing. You take a little bit of soup. Oh, that is the most delicious soup I've ever... I had a celery stick the other day. I started with a celery. Wow, amazing how good a celery stick can taste. And that's the essence of life. If you can receive it in God's timing, if you can practice patiently, self-control, when God brings it about in your life, it's got the pop, it's got the sizzle, it's got everything that it was pumped up to be, everything that you dreamed that it would be and more, whatever that might be. But when we just get things all the time, we take them for granted. When there's no price tag to it, there's no waiting at all, it's just, I remember when Parker was little, every time he would visit my office, I would have a matchbox car for him. And the first couple of times, ooh and ah. The day came when I handed him a matchbox car. And I always bought cars that I loved, you know. And I handed it to him. He says, what else you got? That was the last matchbox car that I handed him. And I learned a lesson as a grandpa. If you just give, it's not appreciated. It's just human nature. It wasn't his fault. He's just being a kid. I was being a bad grandpa. by just giving without, and then, hey, if you do this, I'll give you that. Then that started a different kind of a thing. Patience is a gift. Why do I have to be so bad? Because the longer the patience, the longer the wait, the more self-control that is required, the greater the prize, the greater the blessing, the more you will enjoy what you receive when you do receive it. Kids with a lot of stuff, they leave it out in the rain. They don't take care of it. It's just too much. But when you've got a precious toy, when you've got something that you earned, you take good care of it. And God knows that we're that way. Blessings that are out of God's order are like unripe fruit. You ever get an apple and it looks ripe? I mean, it's beautiful, red, deep color. And yeah, I find red delicious apples the most disappointing of all myself. Now, when you find a ripe red delicious apple, they are red, they are delicious. They're named right. But most of the ones that I get, they're false advertising. They look like they're ripe. You bite into it. I don't think I even want to eat this. I paid $2 for it, though. I think I better eat. I'll try it. You know. And you just kind of suffer through it. Fruit wasn't meant to be suffered through. It was meant to be enjoyed. It was meant to be delicious. But so I refuse to buy a peach from a grocery store ever again. I've just been so disappointed by peach. Now, Nundas, I like the Nundas. But they promise, but that's when you do it out of God's order, you get unripe fruit. Why do I have to be patient? Because it's ripening. And you'll be glad you waited when you take that first bite of what God has for you. When Moses was offered by the Lord, you know, God was having a tough time living with the Israelites and getting them to the promised land. And finally, the Lord said, tell you what, Mo, I'm going to give you an angel. He'll get you there. Okay? I'm not going to hang around so close anymore. The angel will get you there. You don't have to worry about judgments or anything else. You'll just go get your promised land. And Moses said, no, if you don't go with us, I'm not going anywhere. See, Moses knew the key. There is no promised land without God. It's not a promised land. Oh, it may have fruit trees and it may have green fields and may have lots of water and all sunshine and temperatures and everything, but no, without God, just leave us right here in the desert. That's all right. The good things in this life will come to you after you have learned to seek God and His kingdom first. No use cheating. You can pretend to seek God first so you can get the prosperity, but it doesn't work. God won't be fooled by that. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. It's only after you truly fall in love with Him and don't care about the stuff that He just loves to start pouring it in, pouring it on, and giving it richer. Patiently waiting for God's timing, it can be frustrating. Can you say amen to that? Any honest people here today? Waiting for God's timing can be quite frustrating, but it will look and feel to you like everybody else is getting what they want. Well, they're a jerk, and they got it, and I'm still waiting. How is this fair, God? We've dedicated our lives to You, and they bought their first home, and we're still living in a utility apartment or in our parents' basement or whatever. Lord, when? But blessings acquired out of order are fruit that haven't ripened yet. There's no such thing as a blessing if God isn't in it. And if you want God to be in it, you'll wait for His timing. You'll wait for His timing. You remember the opening slide, I had a dog with a bunch of dog biscuits on his nose. And one of my thoughts when I saw that was, that's kind of cruel, you know, to train a dog. Okay, one dog, okay, you can have your biscuit. You know, now we're going to stack them up on the... But imagine when the owner says to this dog, okay, you can have them. He hit the mother load. He's got enough treats for the next week. He had to wait a little longer, but that's only because God was preparing something a little greater than the average person could experience. Trust that the Lord is working good on your behalf. And if God is in it, even if it's a season of sorrow, He will bring gold out of them their hills. And my wife and I have had one of the hardest weeks of our lives as we have wept over this stupid little dog. You know, when I was younger, I used to think, oh, those dumb senior citizens treat their dog like a baby. We are those stupid senior citizens now. We treated our dog like a baby. And oh, it ripped our hearts out. But we have wept together. And we have had a bonding week like I can't remember. And when one of us says, well, yeah, that's right, that's how I'm feeling. And it's been, and we've been watching the Lord begin to do something, even in the middle of sorrow. And I always say, God rarely does what I ask Him to do, but He shows up in ways that you know it's Him. He lets His presence be felt in different ways. And so even in the valley, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And that's the prize we have. That's the joy we have. Yeah, okay, we have to be patient a while. Okay, we have to wait for some things. Okay, we can't run ahead like the world does. But take note of what happens to the world when they do those things. The sooner you learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit, the sooner you learn how to live. This is why we're here. This is what the good stuff is all about. Refuse to compare your journey with anyone else's. Please do yourself a favor. Oh, by the time they were my age, they're this, that. Oh, they're younger than I, and they this, that. Oh, look at them. They shut up. You have to believe that God loves you and knows what's best for you. And even if they're another child of God, God bless them. He knows what He gave to them might destroy you right now, and vice versa. But He loves you special. He loves you unique. And your journey, rejoice for the steps of God. They are the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. I was on my way to the office one winter morning. We were living in Dover at the time. I had a little Subaru. And I was being careful because the wind had put snow across the road again, and there were icy spots all along the road. And so I was just kind of being cautious as I was driving in, and come up on my butt was this huge black 4x4 pickup truck, just right on my tail. And I'm thinking, buddy, that's not too bright. If I slip, you know, you're right on my tail, this isn't too bright. We came to just a little bit of a straight stretch, and he whipped out around me and took off in front of me. And he hit an icy patch, and he went this way and that way, and off down through a culvert and up against a tree. And I thought, God bless you, son. You know, hallelujah, woohoo, hallelujah. You know, but hockey pucks all over the road. I don't know why he had so many hockey pucks in the back of his truck or whatever. But I thought, you know, you thought you were going to get there ahead of me, didn't you? And for a little while, you were ahead of me. But you're not going to get there as fast as you thought you were going to, were you? Or will you? And that's the world. That's the world. Sometimes when you're serving the Lord and you think, oh, look at them go. Keep watching. Just wait a little while. Be patient. And you'll see that God knows what He's talking about. If you're going to obey God, you can't live the way most others do, especially today. What this world considers as normal, as natural, as right, is nuts. It's absolutely insane. I don't think I have to spend, if I go off on a tangent, we'll be here for too long. But I think you can give yourself some examples of what's going on today that is just, whew, this is nuts. And if you're going to obey God, and we're all going to have to get used. I know we're used to being different. Angie Klein played a song for us, Casting Crowns, this morning. Crazy People. You need to listen to that song. It's great. You know, what kind of people have church inside a burning furnace, and what kind of people turn a lion's den into a petting zoo, and what kind of crazy people. You know, we're all crazy people. And the world says that we're crazy. And, you know, we're finding out it's changing rapidly. But we need to make a stand now. They need a light in a dark place. And we need to get over that, oh, they hurt my feelings. Oh, they called me a Jesus freak, and they this and they that. Friend, we need to get over it now. We need to step up to the plate. Now is our time in the arena. And if you're going to obey God, you can't live like most others do. And the persecution has just started now. It's going to get worse. And there are going to be more mandates. They're not all going to have to do with vaccines or masks or whatever. They're going to do with what we believe, what we think, and what we say. And there will be demerits. There will be punishments for living, acting, talking, speaking like a Christian. And we need to be ready for that. And it's a good time to get used to that. They'll laugh that you take the time to be a Sunday school teacher. You could have a part-time job and make some extra money. They'll laugh about, oh, you had a church picnic. Is that nice? Hey, did they have any Coors Light there? Ha, ha, ha. Yuck, 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 yuck. They'll laugh at your group dating. But years from now, you'll be able to look back on it all and say, thank you, Lord. I trusted you. Didn't always understand, but I did it your way. And thank you for the results of all of that. Okay, Pastor, when? When? When is the good stuff going to start coming? And when are we going to reap this harvest that the Bible promises us? In its proper order. Obedience precedes blessing. And if you're just obeying right now, good. You've plowed the soil. You've planted the seed. You're watering it as it goes. The harvest will come. God is trustworthy. You can believe Him. You can trust Him. Good will follow your obedience to God. I know that we like to think of an arc going continually up. This is how God blesses. That's not how God blesses. Often we're on our way up, and then we get a correction, and then we're on our way up, and I get a correction. But God will get us where He needs us to be, where He wants us to be, better than we thought we could be. And He is working for our good. Keep being obedient. When? Obedience precedes blessing. When? In due season. Funny thing about due season. Due season never gets here when we think it should be here already. We thought it should have been here a long time ago, as a matter of fact. In due season, you will reap a harvest if you faint not. What's all this fainting about? Huh? Well, sometimes it gets to that point. You're about ready to get knocked out. Can't handle it anymore. Going down for the count. In due season, you will reap a harvest if you faint not. We always think we're prepared for our next blessing. Now be honest. How many really believe you could handle $1 million? Just, we're going to pass it out at the, but you. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord. Let it rain, let it pour. But God knows. God knows. We always think we're ready. We always think when we're kids, we could be better parents than our parents. Well, when I grow up, I'm never going to tell my kids something stupid because I said so. Well, when I grow up, we're going to stop at every Dairy Queen we cross. Oh, if I was in charge, no more cleaning. No more vegetables. Party every day. Kids, you don't have to go to school. Just jump on your bed all day. Woohoo! Yeah, when I grow up, things are going to be different. We always think we know better than. And it's the same with the children of God. We think we know, I should have had that. It's not fair. But you gave him, and why didn't you give me? In due season. A few years ago, a 15-year-old took his dad's truck, dad's pickup truck, picked up a couple of his friends, and they went on a joyride. It was somewhere around Houston, Texas. And they were, every red light, they were beeping their horn and they were making gestures at the fellow passengers and they were being ignorant all over. They were having the time of their lives. Until he gunned it through a red light, smashed into a car, killed a father and his little daughter. I don't know what kind of jail time or whatever, I don't know. But that 15-year-old is going to have to live with that for the rest of his life. They were having a great time. They were having a better time than all those obedient people around them. Oh, look at them, they're stopping at red lights. Bah, what a fool. Oh, look at you, you're waiting till you get your license to drive. What an idiot. What a buffoon. Look at me. I don't need a license. I don't need insurance. I don't need to know what I'm doing. The joyride came to a sudden halt. And everything changed. Waiting prepares us to receive, to appreciate, to use said blessing in a responsible manner that will truly be a blessing to ourselves and to others. I know what you're thinking. Boy, I can't wait to get home and start waiting. I can't wait to wait some more. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The prodigal had a plan. It was a shortcut. Huh. Okay, so old man, what you're doing all this work every day. Up before dawn, working late until the night. You're going to finally have enough that you don't have to do this anymore. Just give me mine, and I'm going to go do what I want to do right now. Shortcut. This is great. Oh, how he laughed with his pockets full of money running away from home. How he dreamed of all that it was going to be. And you know what? It never was what he thought it would be, even while he still had some money left. And then he ended up in that stinking pig pen thinking, oh man, the guys that work for my dad, they work, they're up before he is and they're working later. They got it better than what I got it over here. So if you're in school, learn a bunch of stuff. Learn, don't be afraid that your brain's going to hurt or you're going to ruin it by stuffing it too full. That's not how brains work. Brains get better the more you put into them. So learn this and learn that and figure out what you're really good at and what you want to do with the rest of your life. So if you're in school, learn. If you've got a job, here's a novel idea. Work. And maybe it's a low-end job, and so, you know, they're not paying me very much. Work like it is. Lord, work like you're getting paid like an NBA superstar. You ever hear their interviews? You ever think, what planet are you on? You know, I'm not working for $10 million. What, are you kidding me? You know, okay. And, but go at it. If you work for the Lord will reward. And again, it's not on that, well I got to do this for 10 years. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow or what God can do. Joseph was sitting in a prison. And he went from prison to second in command over all of Egypt. Just like that. Being faithful where he was, God was taking notes, and he knows how to elevate as well as to bring low. For a senior project, one student decided to interview all of the maintenance people at the school, and then they published all that they found out, all these little bios on the janitor and the, you know, maintenance guy and all these things. And it changed the atmosphere. It changed the whole social outlook of the school. Before then, all the students treated the help like help. Like they were trash themselves, as if they were disposable. And that was their job to take care of it, so let them take care of it. But when these bios came by and they found out, well, some of these people are very well educated and they're very skilled. In fact, a person off the street wouldn't be able to fix the boiler in that high school and so on. They found out that some of them were taking care of ailing parents, and some of them had disabled spouses that they were, and they had children of their own that they were, when they became human, when they learned that these are people too, it changed everybody that was involved. How is it we get these attitudes so easily? Well, How did they end up in that? Well, it must be their fault for this, that, or the other. If they just do this, if they'd just done that. And we have no idea what we're talking about. In due season, you will reap a harvest if you don't faint. I know it gets frustrating sometimes to wait for the timing of God. I know life's not fair. Nobody promised it would be. I know that patience is very difficult to develop. In due season, you will reap a harvest if you don't faint. I don't know about you, but I have no plan B. I trust God. I started out a long time ago to follow the leading of the Lord, and I do the best. One of the things I learned this week as we were going through this, you know, the vet said, you should put your dog down. And so I said, well, I can't do it tonight. I know my wife will want to say goodbye first. So at what point do you go back and you actually do the deed, you know? That's a crazy. And as Barb and I talked back and forth, and as we prayed and as we did, I said, you know, it's kind of funny how moving forward, it feels like our wheels are wee-willy wobbly. We're not sure, should we do this, should we do that? And we're convinced, okay, this way, no, we're not going to go that way. We're going to do this instead. Yeah? And I said, but in the rearview mirror, it's as straight as can be. We know that we have been led by God, but we don't feel like we're being led by the Lord when we make these decisions. We wish it was a little clearer. We wish it was a little stronger. But we know He was here. We know He showed. Isn't that funny how life is? And as you're moving forward and you're making these, should I marry this person or not? Should we live here or not? Should I take this job or not? You look in the rearview mirror and say, you know what? That was God. He showed up. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for there. We thought we took a wrong turn back there. Remember that? But if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have this. And God is leading us. God is guiding us. Life's a hoot. Life's insane itself. Who knows what happens? Last Sunday, I'm standing here. I had no idea. We're burying our pup this way. That just was not even on the radar. And so that's been the kind of defined our week for us. Who knows what's next? It could be just as great a blessing or just as great a sorrow. But He will be with us. And I found that's the prize of life. As long as He's here with us, we can handle the valleys and we really enjoy the mountains. It's all good as we follow in due season. The world rushes to get what they want. They fight, they claw their way forward. You bless those that curse you. You feed your enemies. The world's going, what's wrong with you? I'm following the plan. It's all a part of the plan. Seek ye first His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. I'm following the plan. You volunteer to teach Sunday school, to chaperone kids camp, to help serve at a funeral dinner. On your bucket list is a missions trip. You're going to go build a church in a third world country, or go to a village nobody ever heard of before and dig a well so they can have clean, fresh water. That's in your spirit. That's in your gut. You want to give. Others have nicer homes, better cars, whatever. But you've decided to put a little extra toward the kingdom of God. You've decided to, I don't know, adopt a child you'll never really meet face to face, but you'll give a donation so that they can have an education and clean clothes and food to eat. Okay, Pastor, but when? When do we reap our harvest? Well, first of all, I found out it is more blessed to give than receive. I've never given anything that I walked away feeling, I feel juiced, I feel energized, I feel blessed that I was able to bless. But ultimately, we'll receive the prize when we are welcomed home by Jesus Himself. Oh my. Eye has not seen nor ear heard of all the glorious things God has in store for those who love Him. You'll be blown away. You'll say, Lord, I thought it would be good, but I had no idea. I had no idea. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Pain? What pain? Grief? Sorry, I don't remember what that was like. The half cannot be fancied, this side the golden shore. Oh, there, he'll be still sweeter than he ever was before. Will you stand with me this morning? We will dance.